Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, what's up?
All the leaves on the
rubber
trees
show,
are falling.
As always, I bring the best guests in the industry, and I'm bringing today two new to the show. One I've known for a lot of years. He's flown a lot of cash from the golf course, Alan Hoffman, and his partner and founder of one of the founders of Paracon, Brian Andrada. Welcome aboard, guys. Nice to have you on.
How you doing, Todd? Appreciate the time.
All right, so you guys can talk whenever you want, and, you know, we're going to go, and I know we might step over each other a little bit, but basically I'm going to bring it on to you and tell us, or tell me, and then tell the audience, because you've got at least to over 200,000 people that download this every month. What is it that Paracon is and what you guys do?
Paracon was founded in 2010. The core focus of the organization, strategic risk management and consulting services backed by a technology called Expert Tool. You know, our dynamic difference in the marketplace is that we have a piece of technology that helps us automate knowledge and expertise in a computer model, which can be reused for organizations to streamline processes and make their departments and organizations far more efficient than thought before.
So when you say you're using a computer model, so can you give me an example of what that computer model would do?
Certainly. In a lot of instances, you know, folks will hire auditors and consultants and compliance folks to come in and assist with, you know, various rules and regulations. But within our platform expert tool, we can take the documentations that organizations use to run their business, and also the governmental mandates, and we can mesh them together real time, and we can identify, you know, activities and processes that are being done in a non-traditional way, you know, by using humans to kind of push and pull information, as opposed to using our technology platform that can begin to start automating all those activities. So if you have a process that's going to take 30 to 50 or 100 hours, with our technology sitting in the middle, we can, you know, just like manufacturing back in the day, you know, they used machines to help produce more widgets. Same concept here in the consulting space.
So now you're consulting and you're helping the compliance industry. You're helping clients take care of some of their compliance needs.
Correct. We focus in risk and compliance, and the business has evolved, you know, over the past 6 years into areas that are, you know, in high demand with respect to expenses, specifically self-funded health expenses. We also do a lot of work in that compliance area, you know, making sure that the dollars that are leaving a corporation from a self-funding perspective are actually getting into the system and being properly accounted for and reported back. You know, naturally, there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse that happens because it's a blind, you know, blind accounting procedure where the money goes to the TPA or the ASL. They pay the various carriers, and we've identified via, you know, various audit activities an opportunity for us to identify differences that aren't necessarily being properly reported back to the company. So again, it's using the technology to be able to see things in the data and the supply chain that allows us to, you know, identify differences that can be recouped.
Okay, so I'm one of your clients. So where do my benefits come from as I become a client of Paracon? What should I expect? What would be something that would help me? And, like, I mean, I'm a layman. I mean, you know, I want to make sure that I understand, because obviously technology, I'm lucky I can turn a computer on. So, you know, obviously you guys are pros at this. And so what would be something that I would notice right away, or what's something that would happen that would alert me to an issue?
Well, our self-funded audit, our forensic audit surrounding these activities would probably be the a high-yield, low-risk type of audit engagement for us to participate with a client, especially if they have north of 2,000 employees. The spend can be in the tens of millions of dollars for these activities. And for us to wrap our audit methodologies and our ERISA approach around these activities, we can literally identify 10 to 15 to 20% variance in cost. So essentially what I'm saying is that the dollars that are in the system that have been reported back to the company, there's a chunk of money that's off balance sheet for these organizations to tick and tie to make sure that they can go back and recoup those dollars.
So, Alan, you're hanging out here on the phone. So now your expertise is in financial and investing in hedge funds. How does this all tie in with you?
Well, essentially, Brian came to me years back to try to bring me into the business, and we were talking about doing some financing for it through our hedge fund. And since then, I've learned more and more and more about what we're doing, and I jumped on board about 3 years ago. And I sort of put the hedge fund thing aside and said, you know what, I love trading and I love doing all this, but this is a real opportunity for one of the best arbitrages I've ever seen. This is a very hidden type risk out there that nobody knows about. Every single one of our clients is mandated by the Department of Labor to do an audit that we can do, and we take it one step further and add our forensic or ISA audit on top of it. And we're recovering all these assets that we know are out there. We're finding them, and it's beneficial for everybody involved. You know, our clients are ecstatic. They're reducing their fiduciary responsibilities or risks and recovering hidden assets and making sure that it doesn't happen in the future. So we're stemming off the possibility of these ERISA infractions coming to fruition by installing our prepayment process in place.
No. And Todd, if I can add a little color to that, you know, what Alan's talking about is a complex process audit. And, you know, the inception of the organization going back 6 years ago, Russ and I are both ex-accountants. I was a Blagy guy. He was a KPMG guy. He was actually my former client. He was the chief auditor at LiquidNet and director of internal audit at MetLife. Point is, you know, when we started, you know, working together in a buy-sell relationship, I had noticed that there was a paradigm shift with regard to how consulting services were being deployed, and that organizations like the Big Four and some of the other competitors that we have were starting to implement technologies, but they weren't using the technologies to help them automate a lot of the activities that happen internally. So we've been fortunate enough to, you know, get connected with a gentleman who built a platform called Expert Tool, which in turn we've been able to negotiate and participate on the IP side of the equation. So we now co-own part of the IP, but this engine is a disruptor when it comes to putting us in a foot race against a traditional consulting model. So you're going to need less people, you're going to have more intelligence, and the unique thing about the platform in and of itself is that it learns. So as an expert starts using the system in and of itself starts to predict and decipher different activities that are probably around the corner. And we can really get into another segue or conversation about risk sensing, because we also know that the Fortune 30 are looking for a platform for them to be able to peer into the future, see disruptors that are on the horizon that they can't forecast currently. And we're actually in process right now on another pilot project within the organization of building something very similar to be able to fit that need. It would be about, you know, literally thinking about Blockbuster or BlackBerry, these organizations that were once on the top of the heap within their kind of domain, and then to, you know, suddenly on-demand technologies and some of these other technologies that were disruptive to those business models actually blew them up in a sense. So organizations are out there trying to find artificially intelligent platforms to be able to help them see certain activities that may affect their business globally, geopolitical issues and things of that nature. So our organization, from a process perspective, has always been in those domains testing different things. So that's how we learned about the self-funded problem and, you know, the activities that are happening in the supply chain there. And that was based on Expert Tools. Certainly within a strategic risk scenario, we also have that particular domain that's evolving. And again, we know that some of the big players are trying to test this, but it's going to be cannibalistic to their business model. So the Big Four, they're in the business of having bodies on the street. When we deploy this particular technology in conjunction with automating the knowledge that's resident in an organization, I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to touch us.
And this is Brian Andreotta and Alan Hoffman from Paracon.com. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. We now have about 225,000 downloads a month. We want to make it to 300. I need your help. That's LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Top of Horizon. We will be back right after the break. Bubba Show, Top of Horizon. Welcome. with Brian Andreotta and Alan Hoffman from Paragon Group. I was told I didn't get it right, so I'm getting to ParagonGroup.com. Go check them out because it sounds extremely interesting. It's not really the compliance that I always talk about, but you guys know what rad ass those guys are. So make sure you go check these guys out because I think they can be a lot of help, especially for some bigger industry. But we are with Alan Hoffman and Brian Andreotta, and we're going into some of these things in depth. So what is...
Hey, Todd. Yes, real sir. Quick, you mentioned that it's not used to your regular compliance. It really is. You know, our tool is so advanced and so flexible. We've done an enormous amount of work in the financial services industry as far as working with risk modeling, and compliance versus regular compliance versus what you're used to.
Well, do me a favor. As long as you brought it up, talk to me about that, because let me preface before you go into it. I bash compliance all the time on air, on TV, on my radio show, because they're the biggest jackasses, low-hanging fruit grabbers ever. They got the balls of a gnat, and they don't go after anybody because you don't see them going after J.P. Morgan. They come after the guys that don't have the money to fight them, okay? So what is it? How am I going to benefit? Because there's a lot of guys out there in smaller firms that pay tons and tons of money to run compliance, when if your stuff helps them, you tell us about it, because I guarantee you that I've got a ton of broker-dealers and things that are on this radio show right now listening to you.
Are you starting, Alan? You want me to chime in?
Go ahead.
You're like Brian. At the end of the day, organizations that have to meet compliance expectations have mandates and policies and procedures that the organization internally has to comply with. If I can bring you a technology that can help automate how that information is pushed and pulled, you're going to naturally be in a spot where you can remove the amount of man hours that you're going to need to perform those compliance activities. And that's essentially what we're talking about. It's literally removing a lot of the man hours that you would typically need to be compliant with said mandate.
Okay, so let me ask a little bit more specific question, okay? Because I'm gonna, again, if it's not about, on this call, that's great. I'm just, I talk about it a lot. And for example, a guy in my position, I used to carry a Series 7 license because, I wanted to collect on some fees and things like that. And I said, you know what, it's not worth it, because the cost it costs me to keep that, it prevents me from really talking and saying what I really feel like I want to say when I'm on air. But when I get involved with other organizations, I'm with a broker-dealer or a commodities house, and they're worried about me bringing business in because of compliance issues. What are the steps that it does to help them regulate their compliance when they're going through it? Does it check a commission structure? Does it make sure the numbers fit correctly? Are those things that happen? I mean, that's kind of the idea I'm trying to figure out.
Sure. And it could. It certainly could, because that would be an internal policy that would be automated in the system. And each and every time you'd bring a new producer in, you'd be, in a very quick scenario, be able to kind of run those tests. But compliance is a very loosely used term in the industry. From our perspective, risk and compliance on our side of the equation would be dealing with mandates like Sarbanes-Oxley or Dodd-Frank or any of the other corporate mandates that the public companies have to deal with to ensure that, again, financial statements are being reported properly, that the, laws and regulations are being adhered to, and the rest. Now, and that's all paper documents. So currently organizations have to internalize and understand, you have to have somebody on the team that can deploy what those compliance activities are in the organization in and of itself. So what our technology is able to do is bring all of those mandates into an environment, our computer environment, and then also take all the policies, procedures, internal controls, matrices, and things of that nature to see where there are gaps, real-time gap analysis. And when there are differences in the mandate and the policies, we can quickly remediate those by building different internal controls and or business policies to adhere to those mandates. And in an ever-changing world, when things change, the unique thing about having Expert Tool in the middle of this kind of domain is when things change, we can rip out literally the old policy, plug in the new policy, and we can do a test across the entire organization to see where those gaps are again. Now, in a foot race with us with this technology at our fingertips versus a traditional consulting model, we're going to win 10 out of 10 times. I mean, a lot of the instances in business that we have partnered with some of the bigger players, mid-tier CPA firms in the big four, if you will, you know, it's always been us, you know, waving a flag saying, listen, we're going to beat you at your own game. You know, we understand these mandates. We understand what it takes to deploy these solutions. And without us sitting in the middle with our particular technology, you know, it's going to take you, you know, significantly longer to be able to meet the expectations of the demand of the policy and or compliance activity. And secondly, when we automate these activities, now we're giving the organization almost a competitive advantage. I mean, and if you're going to do a cost-benefit analysis of the dollars that you have to spend in a traditional consulting model versus us, the gap is significant. There's a large disparity between the two, and we're leaving behind the capability that's going to be able to help the organization continue to evolve. And when things change quickly, so can the model. So compliance in our world is a bit different in the registered investment advisory space, which you know I come from as well. That's where Alan and I originally met one another 20 years ago. But in the same vein, compliance is dealing with rules and regulations.
Right, and that's.
I hope that helps.
No, it helps a lot because again, you know, a lot of the rules and regulations are what they are, and of course, I won't go into my editorial about what they are, but so. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, listen, I think we're way overregulated in my own personal opinion. I don't get all of it, and I think that it's kind of silly. But I guess to keep this government growing and keep Washington growing, we have to continue to employ people, so we got to find new things for them to pick on. But when you look
right.
So who is your, if you were going to prototype one client type of client, I know everybody's your client, but who's the prototypical client that say, man, I got to have that right now?
Well, depending upon, you know, the consulting engagement environment that we're pursuing. So the forensic audit is self-funded health expenses. Two-thirds of the organizations in the country are self-funded, number one. Number two, typically we want to find an organization that's got 2,000 lives or greater because there's got to be enough meat on the bone to substantiate the cost of the audit, to find that return profile, which typically we're finding is 5 to 10x based on cost. So getting into that ROI contribution, we want to be in a spot where we're finding organizations, again, that 2,000 or greater is a sweet spot. And again, private or public doesn't make a difference. We're finding our public clients are probably a little bit more apt to hiring us only because here's another emerging risk. You know, the Department of Labor in 2014 and 15 has increased its audit staff significantly. We expect to see the same jump here in 2016. Obviously, everybody understands what's going on with the IRS and the Affordable Care Act and things of that nature. So, you know, this is a domain that a lot of chief financial officers and HR directors, you know, are really unaware. There was an article in Forbes actually last week. I'll have Alan send it to you, talking specifically about the benefits, specifically health benefits, and the fact that officers and companies are unaware of this large ERISA-based emerging risk that's sitting out there. Everybody understands on the 401k side of the equation, naturally, but the health benefits, you know, fall under the same federal law. And there are, you know, it's a blind pool with regard to those transactions after they leave the P&L of the company. We, Paracon, is a company that's developed audit, legal, and technology, audit methodologies surrounding this whole domain to whereby we can, you know, test for errors and test for differences and test for infractions that are ERISA-based, not bilateral contract-based, meaning, you know, the company's got a contract with the ASO TPA, and the TPA's got a contract with the service providers. Now, none of them are speaking to one another. And we have the ability to see things in the supply chain that allow us to kind of tick and tie for those differences. I can't get too far into the weeds with regard to that,
understood.
You know, the methodologies and such, but it's...
I know you can't give away the secret sauce.
We've got the tiger by the tail, as they say.
Can you send this to Washington? Maybe they can clean up some of their crap with all the stuff that
well, by design, Washington does not want to be efficient.
Of course
they
don't.
You know, that's probably another segment.
That's another story for another day, but of course they don't want to be efficient, because if they wanted to be, there wouldn't be 9 billion government workers. But, again, that would be a story for another day. But when we come back from the break, I want you to lay it out and give us a walkthrough, someone trying to get through to you, what you go through to, you know, to bring on that new client, and, you know, what you're going to do and what you're going to do for them, so that everybody gets a real good general idea. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Alan Hoffman and Brian Andreata from ParagonGroup.com. I got to make sure I don't miss that. The Paragon Group, make sure you check it out. These guys are good guys. And as I told you, Hoffman's a grifter on the golf course, so make sure you check him out as well. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you, if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Get you a download. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after that.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
From ParagonGroup.com. Make sure you check them out. And we were talking a little bit off break while we were waiting, and a lot of exciting things happening. And they're going to kind of lay out the initial whole thing, and I think they'll have an interesting story that they're going to kind of tell you. So, guys, go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Listen, you know, before the break, you had mentioned, you know, what would it take, or what's kind of the target for a new client. And at the end of the day, we have, surrounding our forensic audit of self-funded health expenses, we have created this, you know, high-value, low-risk type of an offering. And literally, we're walking into organizations, having a general pitch session, if you will, just sharing some information. We request a questionnaire. It's a one-page document that just gives us some highlights, some of the key factors of how their plan is structured, who's in the middle from a TPA ASL perspective, annual spend, the amount of lives that are in the organization, and from there we literally are turning around proposals in 24 to 48 hours. And the key is we're able to derive enough data from this questionnaire to be able to build a proposal that's going to have a competent, you know, audit ROI contribution to the entire organization. And the key is, you know, especially with the spend, you know, the spend is up there again, you know, north large seven figures, if you will. You know, the cost of the audit with regard to what we're going to discover in the details is, you know, is significant. We're seeing five to 10x based on, you know, some of the past audits that we've been in the middle of. So, we're literally looking to canvas the organization to meet CFOs that are interested in, you know, getting into the weeds with regard to what's happening in this domain. There's a lot of information that is needs to be shared, but also, you know, we're finding that 9 out of 10 times when we're getting in front of our, you know, folks and clients, that they're kind of scratching their head saying that they had no idea about the, you know, the infractions that are happening in the system.
So, you know, just to add on to that, like, one of our target clients also, Todd, is the private equity funds and firms. They're sitting there with a ton of companies in their portfolio that they have no idea that they have these hidden, you know, assets sitting there waiting to be collected. And we can go ahead and cut their health expense, which is probably their second or third largest expense, going forward by anywhere from like 10 to 20%.
Great point, Alan. I actually want to elaborate on that for a second. So, Todd, theoretically, private equity firms are looking for organizations they want to acquire, add to their portfolio, what have you. So on the acquisition side of the equation, if they're looking at a targeted company, and a company has a, you know, a rich and fertile health plan, we can come in and run a couple tests quickly to identify what that off-balance sheet might look like, off-balance sheet asset might look like. So point is, if you're looking to acquire a company at book value or whatever multiple you're using, at the end, we can show that that company is actually more valuable on that acquisition side of the equation by just doing some of these particular audits. And there's, to Alan's point, we can significantly drive down costs based on, you know, a prepayment function that we developed about 9 months ago, which allows us to audit the larger claims before they're actually paid. So again, we can literally stop the manufacturing line, if you will, on that bill process and that payment process side of the equation, go over, comb over each line item to make sure it's compliant with what the plan descriptions are and what the contracts say, and in turn, we're finding anywhere from 10 to 20% of errors on a monthly basis that are being, you know, thrown into the system. Again, for those high claim, high dollar, you know, dollar amount transactions. So if you couple this with our post-payment audits and our claim audits, and you look in the entire environment, you know, really looking at a data population of roughly 3 years, and, you know, us compared to the market, meaning the other players that are in this claim compliance space, I mean, we're blowing the doors off long from an ROI perspective because our audits are far more comprehensive than just claim and compliance.
So, you know, we all know that in the world of business, as you've mentioned a couple of times, there's some hidden assets, there's some hidden money, and sometimes things tend to not go where they're supposed to go. Now, can your stuff, will it catch things like that? Can it locate those problems? Because, you know, me, you know, from my background, I mean, I've seen it happen before in many different industries where somehow things are kind of just disappearing and you can't really put a finger and find it. But can you guys find things like that as well?
Yeah, we're going to run tests of the data population, and then we're going to, again, get into the supply chain a bit and, you know, again, basic audit 101, if you will, but in the same vein, you've got to have access to certain intelligence and other data components to run our tests. So we've been able to utilize, you know, kind of where there's smoke, there's fire type of scenario, you know, in the process. And, you know, all we're really doing at the end is a gigantic reconciliation, but it's highly complex, it's highly complicated, you know, based on the nature of the system and the environment. But, you know, having expert tool or fingertips and certainly the knowledge and expertise in the organization surrounding these transactions, it's allowed us to kind of, not kind of, but literally identify, you know, those items that are outliers and then really start to pursue those outliers to find out that there's been a gap in reporting and such. So, yeah, to answer your question, we can do that.
You know, I mean, again, it is a big problem, and it's certainly a big problem. Obviously, the bigger the company, the more the chances are that these problems do exist. I mean, you know, we hear it all the time. You know, I think it was last year, or, you know, time flies when you're old, so I can't remember exactly, but I know Bank of America supposedly misplaced $5 billion, right? And it was like no big deal. I mean, they make so much money, but something like what you do would have known that there was an issue going on and that $5 billion would have been accounted for somewhere. Would that be correct? Would that be a good correct statement?
It's a fair statement when you're dealing with all the data, sure.
So you guys are really not only are you working on taking care of all the things that, as you call compliance, which are, you know, the flow of money inside and the hidden pockets of where things go and disappear and sometimes, unfortunately, for many companies, disappear into somebody else's pocket by mistake. But of course, it does happen. But you kind of locate those things ahead of time. Would that be a correct statement?
Yeah, via our prepayment audit, we're definitely kind of nipping into the bud. What a lot of organizations, especially the carriers, you know, 12, you know, 18, 24 months down the road, they'll do their own post-payment internal audits and, you know, looking for fraud and or errors and the rest of it. And the issue is, you know, we want to bypass that from happening down the road where the money's already left the P&L by doing our own prepayment audits on the fly. So what we're really doing is, you know, say you got a $100 million spend and we know that, you know, 50% of the spend is for transactions greater than $50,000, you know, per transaction, you know, what our prepayment compliance review will literally do is step in and comb over all those transaction codes and the rest of it to make certain that they're compliant. And that's where a lot of the activity and the errors begin to perpetuate themselves is from the inception of the transaction. So if we're able to get in front of the hospital and say, wait a second, before you submit that for payment,
we want to do our own compliance review to ensure that it is meeting the expectations of the plan, and I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Again, it's just reconciliations, but you've got to have the ability with technology, you know, internal know-how and the knowledge and expertise of our team to be able to, you know, identify those outliers beforehand. And, you know, it's a whole heck of a lot easier to stop the bleeding from happening when it, you know, from the onset, as opposed to trying to chase the money down after it's in the system.
Well, listen, once it's not where it's supposed to be, it's much harder to track it down. I mean, that's a big problem. Now, so this is big artificial intelligence, and you sound like you're on the forefront before anybody else with this stuff. Is that a good statement?
We feel we are. We feel that our platform is second to none in comparison to query-based technologies, you know, the software development lifecycle. You know, again, in a foot race opposed to, you know, next to expert tool in a, you know, problem domain, you know, we're going to be quicker, better, faster. I mean, it's just that, you know, the intelligence and the innovations that have been developed in expert tool based on Joe Glick, who's a software engineer, it's ahead of the curve. And, you know, we know that the market is prime and ripe for this type of technology to be bled into the marketplace, but in the same vein, it will be a significant disruptor to the traditional consulting model. Because now go ahead. I'm sorry, somebody asked a question.
And Todd, just to add to Brian's statements there, it sounds like you're asking about our competition. You know, we have competition in sort of the first stage of our audit, which is the regular claim and compliance audit, which the Department of Labor mandates anyone with a self-funded plan to do. Okay, so we do that audit, but what we do that nobody else does is our ERISA forensic audit on top of that, where we find real, real major ERISA infractions in the bulk of our recoveries. And no one does that. No one has the technology that we know of to do that. And that's really where expert tool, along with our expertise, sets us apart from any of our competitors.
You know,
in Alan's point, it functions in that domain, Todd, but I also want to be clear that expert tool in and of itself is a knowledge automation environment. So anytime you've got highly intelligent, you know, expertise in an organization, we're modeling it in the computer. And to Alan's point, you know, we're using it in the self-funded domain for these audits, but we're also applying it to essentially everything that we do in the risk and compliance space. You know, we're getting into some other work with organizations from the planning and optimization side of the equation. So, you know, since inception, we were initially, you know, process audit geeks, if you will, that have bolted on this particular technology that's allowed us to get into other domains. And we know we have something special when we have some of the bigger players that have asked us to partner on projects and or, you know, some of the tier twos as well that have asked us to pinch it in certain areas. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds on that as well, but in the same vein, it's, you know, we've got the tiger by the tail with this piece of technology,
they
too.
They got the world by the balls, I'll say it, but every time he says forensic, I got to check and make sure I'm still alive. It's been great having you guys on. I mean, I enjoyed, you know, hearing about it, and I look forward to following up with you guys. This has been Alan Hoffman and Brian Andreotta from Paracon.group.com. Check them out. And again, any questions, please email them in, because these guys know it, and they're solid. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you check out LibertyTalk.fm. They get a download version of the podcast every day. This is the Bubba Show. We'll see you back here after break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
I was proud.
Welcome
after
back
10,000 beers in 28 years.
Man, that compliance stuff is big. Hopefully, if you check it out, it'll be something for you, because, again, I go through this all the time in the securities business, and it's annoying. But anyways, back to monkey business and back to Bubba business. And, you know, we got Brexit. Brexit, you know, it's amazing how much of an ordeal we make out of every damn thing in the world when it all doesn't mean jack. I mean, think about it. What does it matter to you or to me if the UK says goodbye to the euro? Okay. Does it mean anything? No. Is it going to change anything? No. Okay. So all of a sudden, here we are. The markets are flying, supposedly, because of the Brexit. But are they really? Maybe, you know, this is what I love. Okay, this is what I love what I do too. maybe we're just in a consolidation range. And if you look at a chart, you'll see that we are just in a consolidation range. And maybe when we get down to the bottom end of the range, the buyers step back in. Excuse me. And when we're at the top of the range, the sellers come back in. Now, doesn't that make more logical sense than, well, this week it's Brexit and next week it's this, and then you got the Fed chair on the Hill today and tomorrow? Do we really give a rat's ass about her? I mean, seriously. I mean, other than she's sticking it to us, other than the Fed is sticking it to us, okay, do we really care what's going on? And the answer is most likely for most of us, no. Okay? If you're a short-term trader, it can only benefit you because it can create some quick activity and some action. If you're a long-term investor, then you should be hedged or protected, and you're not going to sell tomorrow anyways. So that is, you know, the way it goes. And that's what we should be concerned about, is not whether or not we're Brexit or exit or Trexit or Grexit or who gives a whatever. I mean, what it's about is, what is the market telling you? The market tells you everything, okay? And that is the bottom line. And at the end of the day, okay, it just comes down to, what's the market telling you? What is the price action telling you? Because the truth of it all comes down to price. And you have to understand that when you're trading or investing, it doesn't matter, because they're both equally important to what you're doing, because that will make what your goals and objectives are. So if you get yourself too wound up and too caught into the Federal Reserve and to Janet Yellen and to Brexit and all this other crap, you will, first of all, drive yourself into an asylum. Now, I'm already halfway there. But if you're going to do that, you're going to put yourself in a position where it's going to be hard to succeed, because you're trying to outguess what's already really been in there or in the market and priced in. And that is something that I warn repeatedly to people about, is not to put yourself in that type of position, because what you're doing is you're trying to read the tea leaves. Now, price and markets don't have tea leaves. And that's something that is very important for us, is that if you understand action and price, okay, if you understand the psychology behind the market, if you understand that whenever you're trading or investing, you are in a competition, okay? You're in a competition because there's always, remember, another side of that trade. So don't put yourself into a position where you're not understanding the other side of the trade. Look at it logically, and again, then play it. Now, again, if you're investing, you know, you're looking at solid companies that pay a relatively good dividend that you're not going to be selling anytime soon. And if you're trading, then you're looking purely at a technical. Now, in either trade, you're going to look technically at the stock, okay? Because whether you're investing or you're trading, okay, you look at the company to make sure that they're solid and they're going to be in business, and then you wait for a good technical spot to jump in. Whereas if you're trading, you don't really care if they're going to be in business or not, because, you know, as a trader, a long-term capital gain could be 37 minutes or less, okay? And that's the difference when you're trading and you're investing, is what is your scope and what are you looking for? So what I always say is that you're looking for the best entry point or the best exit point based on what we call price action, because price action is what it comes down to. At the end of the day, it's always about price. And we can blame whatever we want. Okay. You know, you can have, you know, when this market finally craps out, it'll be blamed on something. Okay. But know now, today, that the market's going to crap out, and it's going to crap out because it's just overvalued. It's going to crap out because there's been too many buyers. It's going to crap out for a number of reasons. And it won't be the reason that they give you when it does, but the pundits feel that they have to give you a reason, because then they wouldn't be able to sell advertising if they just told you, well, it's just the price action, okay? So there always has to be a reason, okay, to have something. But at the end of the day, the reason is that price is king, and it will dictate the markets. And if you learn, and it's not complicated, and if you, hell, if you listen to me enough, you'll get how to read them. But if you understand that, again, does that guarantee you that that trade will be successful? No. But it does guarantee you that you can cut your losses and make sure you're getting out if you're wrong. Okay. But you always want to identify in an investment, is the company solid? Are they going to be in business? So in other words, let's say you like Apple. Okay, well, Apple's great. Okay. And maybe 95 is a good level. I don't know if it is or it's not. It looks to be a good level. So maybe we look at 95 as a spot to start accumulating some stock. Now, you can invest in a couple of different ways. You can start out by buying a little, knowing that you're going to be willing to buy more. Or you can buy your full position right away, knowing that you're going to hold on to it. That's really a personal choice. And again, that creates, you might have to be more active in the market. So, you know, these are things that you look at from a long scope. And then if you're trading, again, you're just looking for the quick hit, okay, in and out, you know, whether it be in and out in a day, in and out in a week, in and out in an hour. You know, I mean, obviously it's hard to get in and out of a stock in an hour. I mean, it can happen, but, you know, if you're in the futures markets, you know, obviously those things happen and they give you those opportunities all the time. That's one of the things we teach in the futures class. Okay, but overall, you're looking for something that says, okay, this is going to go up or this is going to go down. This is why, this is the action I'm seeing, and this is justified based on technical analysis. And if you continue to do all those things, then you will always be in the proper position to be successful. It does not guarantee that you will always be successful, but it will always put you in the right opportunity, okay? And again, you can only go in with pocket aces and hope that they hold up, but you are a mathematical favorite. And that's what investing, trading, risk-taking is all about, is having that mathematical advantage so that you can create more winners than losers, defending your capital, making sure that you're in good shape, making sure you're using the right thing. Okay, if you do all those things, then you will be on the road to a more stable environment, a better trade, and a better opportunity, okay? That is really what it comes down to, is where do you get the best edge and the best opportunity? And one of the good opportunities that we offer here at the Bubba Show is an offer with Thinkorswim. And, you know, of course, we support them and we use them, and they're one of our platforms that we use. But they have swim lessons, and today they have understanding options, probability, and skew, and tomorrow they've got intro into futures and options, and options on futures. So, you know, it's a great program. And Thursday they're doing Brexit at Tiffany's. So, you know, check them out. That's swim lessons every day at 10:30 to noon Central Time. They also have technically speaking from noon to 12:30 Central Time. And they have the plunge from 12:30 to 1:30 Central Time. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, you have to go to libertytalk.fm and download that show and listen to me as I'm cranking them out. But in the meantime, that'll do it for today, guys. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. Thank you.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.